An old friend of the show. We haven't had him on in a very, very long time. One Mark Levine, former congressional attorney and Washington, D.C. liberal radio talk host. Mark has also been seen as one of Fox News Channel's contributors. Mark, welcome back to Battleline.
Thank you, Alan. Appreciate being here.
Good to have you. Well, the Obama White House seemed to look at itself in the mirror, and either the reflection or the guy looking into it blinked. who do you think it was? What's up with Holder? He looks like the kid who lost his favorite toy.
Yeah, well, he did. Listen, Congress passed a law requiring him to have these military tribunals, and he believes in the constitutional system under the Bill of Rights that I believe in, and thinks that America is strong enough and New Yorkers are tough enough and we can handle a trial. The Bill of Rights has worked for 220 years. I think it'll work a few months longer, but the Republicans and some Democrats, too, in Congress said, oh, no, we can't handle trying a terrorist, not to mention the fact that we've done it many, many, many times. Maybe they thought that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed could walk through walls. I don't know. But they didn't seem to believe in the American system of justice. And
So the military tribunals are good enough for our men and women in uniform, but they're not good enough for terror suspects.
Well, under look,
that's what you're essentially saying.
Well,
I mean, that's exactly what you're saying. It's precisely what you're saying.
No, not really.
No, that's precisely what you're saying.
Look,
I gave you a chance. Give me a chance now. Look, given that the Supreme Court had already ruled that military tribunals are perfectly constitutional, and Obama himself as a senator spoke very eloquently in praise of and in agreement with these revamped rules for holding these military trials, why the hell was there ever this crazy-ass exercise that really did nothing but delay the inevitable? Was Obama simply fulfilling a promise to his collectivist left with Eric Holder, chief amongst them? Or did he just experience some kind of premature senility, to the degree that he did not recall that he himself, as a senator, said these military tribunals were perfectly fine?
Look, there's two things. First of all, in terms of our military, they are court-martialed and so forth under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. There's different rules, right? You can't do things in the military you can do in civilian life. That's why we have military tribunals for them. As far as Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and these guys, look, the real concern is, to me, is not necessarily military tribunal versus civilian tribunal, but Guantanamo Bay versus United States of America. George Bush set up this prison on Guantanamo Bay for a reason. He said, if it's in Guantanamo Bay, I don't have to obey the Constitution anymore. He seems to have forgotten he took an oath to uphold it. And he says, well, because it's not America, even though we've leased it forever, I don't know how you lease something forever and not make it yours. Therefore, I am outside the nation's laws, and I can torture the guy, even though it's against the Eighth Amendment of the Constitution. Guantanamo Bay is a stain on America and on America's honor. We need to bring these people home and give them American justice and then execute them.
If a military tribunal is American enough in its justice for my former fellow vets, if you will, because I served, but if it's good enough for our men and women in uniform, I find it stretching credulity to the snapping point for anybody to assert that it's also not good enough for the terrorist suspects against whom our military fight. I mean, otherwise, you're talking about a movable standard which has zero relevancy. The only legitimate standard is the one born out of the original rub first exposing the conflict. If we don't accept that, then any argument can be expanded into a multitude of other arguments, really allowing you to escape from your half of that original rub just because you couldn't defend it. So I'm asking you once again, if the military tribunals are good enough for our men and women in uniform, it seems preposterous that it's not good enough for the terror suspects they've been fighting, unless you have another approach.
Well, I think that's a very strange comparison, because the people
How
in the
so?
Military...
Very straightforward, denotatively or connotatively. It's good enough for our men and women in uniform. Why the hell is
thing.
It not good enough for the terrorists they fight?
The fear is bias, right? People who join the military, first of all, they choose to give up their liberty and join the military. They know they're going to be
The fear is bias. No.
They think they'll get a
No. There's not the least infinitesimal correlative relevance between what you just stated, okay, and the issue on which you had hitherto so clumsily opined. Why is it this fear is enough? That's predicating everything on perception versus intent. You are shaming a system. You are holding a system in lower regard because some asswipe out there with an abridged intellect might just assume that it's biased. How does somebody's assumption of bias now become the measure?
Alan, to me, the measure is the Constitution. To me, the measure is the Bill of Rights. To me, the measure is the system that's worked for 220 years, that got us through the Civil War, that tried Richard Reed, that tried Zacharias Moussaoui, right in my hometown of Alexandria, Virginia.
That's the art of movable standards. That's the art of movable standards. You're renaming a thing as being something other than what it is in order to gain the ground your arguments otherwise could not. How is it referencing the Constitution and the Bill of Rights in any way, shape, or form bolsters your argument when nobody is in opposition to it? You're responding to a question never posed as well as opposing an argument never asserted. Why are you doing that? Get to the rub. Debate with me Socratically. Point, counterpoint, counterpoint, counterpoint. What's that?
The difference.
And what's that?
I did want the Constitution to apply.
How is the Constitution not applying now if the Supreme Court says it's perfectly constitutional?
It says it's constitutional on a battlefield. I don't think Guantanamo Bay is a battlefield.
Guantanamo Bay is not. Guantanamo Bay is not where the crime took place.
Exactly.
The crime took place
there in a military tribunal.
But we caught them overseas.
That's correct.
They're the enemy.
Read overseas.
And also, if you're so fond of the Constitution, then you know that there's a perfectly acceptable Fifth Amendment outlet for this. You know that.
But only if the constitutional rights apply. But you know what George Bush says. He says there is no Constitution. He can send people to Egypt to be tortured. Well, maybe not Egypt anymore. He'll have to go somewhere else. He can send people to be tortured in foreign countries, and he thinks that's okay. Because Guantanamo
I'm talking about
is
what
insane.
Is constitutionally sound. The Supreme Court is the branch that's supposed to determine whether or not challenged legislative law indeed passes constitutional muster, and therein lies the duck. Also, don't forget something else, too. This Congress is the one that passed the Military Act that allowed for this as per the instructions of the Supreme Court, which, by the way, is one of the three branches listed in the Constitution. I don't know how you can get away from yourself on this.
Well, because the prosecutor, the chief prosecutor of the United States, the chief law enforcement officer of the United States, the attorney general of the United States, I don't think we want Congress deciding which criminals should be prosecuted in America. I don't think we want Congress saying, okay, you we prosecute and you we don't prosecute. That's the attorney general's job. And Congress stepped on the toes of the attorney general. That's why he was so upset.
No, my God, I can't. You're an attorney. How can you be so wrong with this? You know Article 1, Section 8 allows for Congress to be the authority to determine how prisoners are managed when acquired on land and sea. Now, Congress has that authority. Now you want to take it away from them and still calling yourself a constitutionalist? These two endeavors seem to be in desperate conflict with one another.
Congress has the right to define and punish piracies and felonies coming out on the high sea. It doesn't have the right to decide what happens with individual prisoner. Congress, like any legislator, sets the law. It says, this is illegal. What it doesn't say is you, Mr. Smith, or you, Mr. Muhammad, go to jail. That's not Congress's role. That's the prosecutor's role. That's why they stepped on his toes.
But Congress can do what they did, and let's face it, if there was anything so unconstitutional with what Congress said, then the president would have made that assertion. Also, let's remember, the president himself was okay with the military tribunals, because when he was a senator, he went to the well of Congress and said, this I can agree with, and he backed it up. What changed
Alan,
his mind?
You and I both know there are military tribunals, and there are military tribunals. The first military tribunals...
Oh, that's a movable standard. That's a movable standard.
Well, they were declared unconstitutional, but the entire Supreme Court ruled unanimously that these prisoners had a right to habeas corpus. That's the Hamdan v. Rumsfeld case. Now, the military tribunals now, under the Democratic Congress, I admit, are fairer than they were...
Hold. You also know that Congress has the right as one of their separated powers. You know that Congress has a right as one of their separated powers to make that determination when it comes to habeas corpus.
No, they don't. Congress can't suspend habeas corpus.
Oh,
no one
God.
Can suspend habeas corpus except in times of rebellion or invasion.
No, that's, Congress that's, can do just that.
No, Congress cannot suspend habeas corpus. It's
yes,
article,
it can.
Hold on, I'm going to read it to you. I'll find it in my Constitution.
The privilege of the writ of habeas corpus shall not be suspended unless when in cases of rebellion or invasion the public safety may require it.
Exactly.
Well, we haven't been invaded.
You've
got Eric
invaded.
Holder saying he's kept up at nights because of all the people who have injected themselves in our society. He's kept up at nights because he believes the enemy is already within our midst. You can't have one without the other. Mark Levine, always a blast.